Welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D, an Italian-American podcast at ItalianAmericanLife.com. And I am your host, Frankie D. And I'm very proud to be partnered with Carla Simonini, who is the director of the Paul and Ann Rubino Italian-American Studies Program at Loyola University in Chicago. And we are doing a series of podcasts about Christopher Columbus. Tonight, we are on our third part of the series, Pro and Con Voices. And our guest today is Sergio Giangrande, the president of the Joint Civic Committee of Italian Americans here in Chicago. Sergio, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for taking the time. I know this has been a very busy 3, 4 months, 5 months on this topic of Columbus Day, parade, statue, and everything dealing with Columbus. So we really appreciate your time. So Carla, could you get us started?
Oh yeah, me too. I would just like to say thank you to Sergio Giangrande for joining us tonight. Like I said, we know he's busy, and I mean, the Columbus Day parade is coming up very soon. I know I was at Casa Italia today, and they were talking about it and making ready the preparations. So
yeah, thanks. So there's not actually a parade this year.
I know.
We are celebrating Columbus Day.
Yes. Thank you for that correction there. Let me just get started here. I mean, what Frank and I've been doing is trying to give voice to different issues surrounding the figure of Christopher Columbus. And this segment is dedicated to pro and con voices, pro and con the maintenance of the monuments and the celebration in general. And I thought, if you don't mind, I was going to read a statement that was given earlier by Heather Miller, who is the executive director of the American Indian Center. This is from an interview she gave on the local PBS station, I believe, and she was asked about what Christopher Columbus represented. And here, I'm just going to read this, if that's okay. So Heather Miller said, "We have to remember that Columbus never actually landed in the country we now call North America, but his actions had a major impact on how this country was founded. When he did arrive in the islands, he immediately enslaved the native people that he found there. He killed them, he raped them, he murdered them, and these were replicated with the natives here in the Americas. We're still suffering from genocide and colonization, and those are the things that the statue represents to us." So that's the side of being against the continued presence of the statue, that for a segment of that it represents genocide, that it represents a horrible history, that it represents suffering and pain. So just taking that as a point, what does the statue represent instead to the Italian American community? Because it has a very different view on what that monument stands for.
So the first thing I'm going to say is I'm sorry that Heather Miller and the American Indian Center feels that way. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's not who Christopher Columbus is meant to represent to our country. Christopher Columbus is meant to represent the whole country, not just Italian Americans and not just American Indians, mm-hmm. in all reality. And when Christopher Columbus was initially celebrated, it was for Italian Americans and American Indians as well. And it seems like somewhere along the line, American Indians lost track of that. I'm sorry that she feels that way. That's obviously not what it represents to us. To us, it represents a symbol of hope, represents who we are as Italian Americans. It's physically impossible for what they say that Columbus did in the short time that he was here. Obviously, I'm not going to go into historical facts, but we have historians to do that for us. But it's physically impossible for him to do. Now, I'm not saying that some of those things didn't happen of some of the Spaniards who came over. And I'm sorry that those things have happened, but those are things that have happened in the past. And these are things that we now need to learn from and move forward.
Yeah, I think that's what the series is all about. And we are speaking to Heather separately. So we're doing another section with mm-hmm. her. So we'll be able to explore that sure. perspective more in depth. And we have had other scholars that we've talked to about the history of the holiday. And we did talk mm-hmm. in particular with Professor William Connell from Seton Hall, the LaMotta right. Chair of History. And he talked about the history, in particular, the World's Exposition here in Chicago, and how it was envisioned as a holiday, as at that point in time, a uniting sort of force for all Americans, and how there was mass participation, and it represented, he called it diversity 1892 style, which is not the same as what we envision diversity meaning today.
Sure.
And that's a very good point, Sergio, that I've learned from doing these podcasts, like Carla just said, that originally this holiday was for everybody.
Yeah.
It was not for the Italian Americans.
No. When it was first celebrated in 1892, when that first parade went down the street, it was for everybody. There was American Indians marching in there. It wasn't just Italian Americans. I mean, it came about because of some things that we suffered, and some things that the American Indians suffered as well. It mm-hmm. came about that, and when that was used to celebrate, it was basically a way that the president could give back to both communities.
Correct. And there was many students, apparently from grammar school kids to college kids.
Yeah.
So Professor Connell gave a really good enthusiastic description of what that early celebration was like. He was talking in too about the one in New York City too, also in 1892, the history of the parade there. So I guess, what would you say it represents, Sergio, then, for the Italian American community? I mean, to look yeah. at that statue, I mean, I think the one in Arrigo Park seems to have a particular significance with the Italian American community, although also the one in Grant Park. So, I mean, I just read that very provocative statement from Heather about what it represents. Like, looking at the statue represents that particular history for her. What would you say it represents for the Italian-American?
That's a little extreme. Yeah, that's a little extreme. But here's what, in my opinion, what it represents to the Italian community is, that's, as I said earlier, it represents a symbol of hope. Remember, we came over, all Italian-American immigrants came over, and we were discriminated against.
Yeah.
Remember that. So for us to look at somebody that's as an Italian heritage that is given so much to this land, that has contributed so much to who we are as Americans today, and having part of that Italian to it, I think that's what it really truly celebrates. As I mean, we can't forget, I mean, we were treated, we were used as slaves back when we were coming over, and all that carried on throughout as Italian Americans started evolving throughout their immigrant years. Mm-hmm. So as when they look at Columbus, I mean, that's what it means for us.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I teach that history. I mean, that's part of what I do in my Italian American Studies program. And I do it mostly through literature, but also through many other classes that we offer. But the years of struggle, the years of discrimination, the years of oppression, a lot of abuses too, with many of the immigrant groups, but the Italians form us about them in terms of the oppressive conditions with labor. For sure, that's a part of our history, and that's something that we, you know, I like to bring to the attention of my students, and kind of brings up for me a bit of an irony that there is a shared story there. There is a shared narrative of suffering and oppression, and I would just wonder, is there room to find common ground with those who oppose Columbus? And I mean, his figure was used as a means for the Italian Americans to connect with the greater American story. It was a way to connect with making themselves feel meaningful and respected, that we're a part of the greater American landscape. We can connect with, if not the founding fathers that were British, this founding father who had a different history, who was an immigrant. And do you see that there's any room for dialogue in terms of that shared sense of hope in overcoming difficulties and oppression, discrimination?
So I do. I would open that dialogue, and I've actually sat with Heather Miller and the American Indian Center at the American Indian Center. So I've tried opening up that dialogue. I don't know if you recall, but back in 1992, Dominic DeFrisco had actually an American Indian tribe that he had a very good relationship with that actually marched in the parade of 1992, which celebrated the 100 years of the first parade going down the street. And somehow since the 90s to now, that got lost in translation, building that rapport, and somehow the hatred that has been going on in our country has been growing, and this is part of the hatred. Unfortunately, that got lost. But yes, I mean, we've tried opening that conversation, and I hate to say, but it didn't seem like the American Indian Center was very open to anything but just eliminating Columbus Day. So, and I don't know where it got lost in translation there, but we've tried.
Yeah, we talked with we will be talking with Professor Fred Gardefee. He's in our part four of the series, Beyond Columbus. And I know he has spoken to me about that in 1992, there was participation. And he said there was something like a silent protest that they had along the sideline, that there was a sage burning ceremony or something where there was this recognition of the, you know, the great atrocities that came. I mean, and honestly, even the greatest proponents of Columbus who, the historians who have written about him, like back in the 50s, were talking about his capabilities as a navigator and the good that came out of the opening up of the Columbian Exchange or whatnot. I mean, there is still recognition of the fact that it opened the doors to genocide. And then, you know, Columbus himself did some pretty not so great things. Even Professor Connell is the first to admit that too. So it's... Yeah.
See, and that's the thing. And that's why I say that's for mainly historians to debate, because from the historians that I talk to, they read all his diaries and all his writings. If they read those in full, it's not necessarily that's him that did those. So, I mean, now here, once again, I am not a scholar by any means, Carla.
Yeah.
So I rather have two scholars debate that.
But yeah, no, and that's not where we're just, yeah.
So from my understanding, I mean, a lot of those, some of the things that I understand is that he brought a couple American Indians back to Europe with him and adopted one of them or made one of them his godsons or something along those lines. So
yeah, Professor Delaney talks about that in her book. Actually, she's the only one that I've actually ever heard mention that. None of the other scholarly works I've read make reference to that fact.
I've heard a couple other people mention that. So there's those. Then where they took him in as a prisoner because he was going against his own men there
he was sent back to Spain in chains at a certain point, and he was put on trial in his own day.
So I don't know how you can have the same person commit those crimes and then all of a sudden you say that he was taken back in chains, he adopted or became a godfather to one of them, or one of them became, I don't know how that's the same individual, but once again, that's more for scholars, and they have to go into true diaries and read into who he truly was. But at the same time, you can't deny what he's done for the Americas. You can't deny that he opened up a whole nother world to the rest of the country.
Unfortunately, in life, and the older I get and the more I see and I live and I experience, you could almost make an analogy of the debate with Columbus to political debates and political elections, because you can have this guy that, let's call him a president. And you can have the president of this country, let's say the United States of America. And that guy could say, he's done a great job. He's built up the economy. He's done this, he's done that. And the other guy could say, he destroyed the economy and he destroyed that and that. These are, I think, eternal questions for humans that apparently existed in the 1400s, and they kind of exist in 2020 as well.
You're extremely correct, Frank. But so here's my thing on that. So you're absolutely correct. So now you have these two different people who think differently and have different opinions of this individual. Now, you can't deny the facts of what has truly come out of it. Can't deny facts, can't deny actions. And we know the actions was that he opened up the Americas to the rest of the world. You can't take that away from him, right?
So, absolutely not.
So when you know that, how do you go about eliminating, celebrating this individual? Now, we all think differently of other people, but how do you deny that? And how do you deny the Italian Americans on who they want to celebrate? How do you deny Italian Americans from that? This is our choice. This is who we are. This is who we decided to celebrate. You can't take that away from us.
Not to mention, I mean, I agree with you. I'm not a big fan when they say, well, why don't you celebrate somebody else? There's a lot of good Italian Americans. And I think, well, who are you to tell me who I can celebrate?
That's now, right.
You know, I could celebrate Mickey Mouse, but you shouldn't tell me that. No. You shouldn't tell me who I should want to celebrate. And that's where it does get very sticky.
Yes. Now here, if you want to be that individual who wants to say, this is, well, I think that you shouldn't celebrate. Think all you want, but don't tell me to take the statue down and don't tell me to not celebrate the day. Don't try to take that away from me. Think all you want. Have your own opinion. You want to disagree? I'm sorry you disagree. But you cannot tell us that we have to take our symbol of hope and our statue. You can't tell me to take that down. Can't tell me you're going to take Columbus Day away. Because guess what? We're still going to celebrate it. Mm-hmm.
I wonder, I mean, to play devil's advocate here too, I agree with, I mean, certainly nobody likes to be told what they should be doing. I mean, I think it's human nature when somebody from outside your group tells you, oh, you should do this instead. I mean, that's a natural human reaction to, you know, hey, you know, stay out of my business kind of thing. I wonder though, there's a difference between having made a decision privately or as a group, and there's as opposed to something that's recognized publicly. I think one of the things that we have to be considerate of is that even though Arrigo Park is located near what is considered to be, or what had traditionally considered to be, a Little Italy neighborhood, it's a public space. And you know, I think it reminds me of like what the public spaces should be welcoming to everyone, you know, and should we not be more sensitive to the fact that if we want to have a monument, we, meaning I'm putting myself in as the Italian American community, to where it's placed, and to the fact that it is offensive to other members of our same community. I think that's a valid issue to look into that we should be able to talk about.
It is. And here's going to be my answer to that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back to Frank's analogy, and I'm going to use today's modern day, and I'm going to use our President Trump, right? If you're a Democrat, and I'm not talking politics whatsoever, but if you're a Democrat, you're going to disagree with who President Trump is. He's still your president. You can't take him down. Mm-hmm. He's already there. He's been voted in. Can't eliminate him. But you have that percentage of people who disagree with what his values are, who disagree with who he is as an individual. Mm-hmm. He's in a public space. You can't eliminate Donald Trump, our president. He's still your president. You might want to go around, whatever it is. He's still the president of the United States of America. Christopher Columbus is still Christopher Columbus. Mm-hmm. And he had a big part of who we are as Americans today. Can't take that away from him. So I understand it's a public space. I completely get it. But I'm going to go back to can't take that away. It's history. It's happened.
Some things that happened 500 years ago aren't necessarily okay today. And yeah, I'm sorry.
We don't have monuments to all those things that happened. This one we do. I mean, obviously, I'm just.
No, we do. Yeah. We do. We have plenty of presidents that owned slaves that are still monuments. We have plenty of those.
Carla and Sergio, I thought of something. You know, I think if today in 2020 we said, and it never existed before, there was no holiday, there was no parade, there were no statues. Hey, we want to honor Christopher Columbus because he was Italian, and we would like to put a statue in a Regal Park. Now that might be a problem. Yeah. Because now it's something new, and now we're going to look into this, and we have to decide. But if it was already there, that important people years ago decided this is going to be a holiday. Hell, it was the president of the United States.
I was just going to say, you have a president of the United States.
Decided that this was a holiday. And then along the lines, there were statues built and parades to be walked in. Well, now I think that's where the community, when I say the community, the Italian-American community, has a real problem, because it's like all of a sudden now, and I know there's been for a few years, but let's face it, 2020, we're going to take all that away. That's a problem. That's an issue. That's something that you know, invokes anger.
And all you're doing is creating more hatred within people. I mean, all this is doing is having more hatred, having Italian Americans. Now you Italian Americans feel like they've been came across. You feel like they've been targeted. So now you're just creating more hatred. This is something that our country does not need today. This is something that should just let be and move on. Now, are there symbols that should be celebrated? Absolutely. I feel like there are symbols that that aren't up, and there are statues that should be up. But you don't eliminate.
I feel like this country doesn't like history and doesn't respect it, because I was thinking about this. Okay, we have Columbus. Well, as Americans, we have George Washington, and he's on a dollar bill, and he's our first president, and he means something. Well, if they start looking back, they found something he did wrong. Well, let's eliminate him. You know, the state of Illinois is the land of Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently they weren't happy about Lincoln statues, so there must be something that he did wrong. Well, now let's eliminate that. You know, mm-hmm. We could get into downtown Chicago. There's Daley Plaza. Well, mm-hmm. Did Mr. Daley do something maybe that wasn't that great? That's probably an easy one. Are we going to eliminate it? What I'm getting at is, you know, it gets real easy to start eliminating things in our modern society. So let's say that we name the land of Lincoln, the land of Ronald Reagan. I think he was born in Illinois. And then, well, I shouldn't even say Ronald Reagan. Let's say we name it after someone now. And then about 80 years from now, they say, you know what? That guy was a bad guy. Let's call it this. What I'm getting at is, I feel like a lot of this stuff just needs to remain as it always has been, and just get on with your lives.
Absolutely.
George Washington is the dollar bill. Why mm-hmm. must we change the dollar bill? Now, if you want to make a $3 bill because you're dying to put somebody else on it, well, let's talk about it. But eliminating this guy to put that guy, that's where you're never gonna please all of the people. You're not even gonna come close, and you're gonna make more divisions.
That's exactly what this is doing.
Well, again, to break in maybe a little more devil's advocate, that I mean, monuments do mean things. Monuments reflect, public monuments in particular, are a reflection of the values of a society. If you hold something up in a public space, there's a value judgment associated with that. And it represents, you know, civic society in a certain way. And it does change and evolve over time. I mean, you see places where there have been shifts in political philosophies or outlooks, where statues and monuments have been taken down, not just in the United States, I'm talking in other places. I mean, the thing with Columbus, I mean, one of the discussions we had with Professor Connell was the fact that it's a federal holiday, so that it would actually take an act of Congress to change it from being a federal holiday. So there is its recognition on the federal holiday calendar. And then mm-hmm. there's this other level that's developing about what it's come to represent, and it's come to represent different things within our society. So I think we're at a point where we're kind of struggling to figure out, like, you know, who we are. And I agree, it doesn't help us when it becomes a flashpoint for more discord. I don't think that helps anybody. And I guess that's why before I was trying to talk about, well, there's some similarities in terms of Columbus being, you know, a figure, like you said, of hope and rooted in a history of discrimination and oppression. And, you know, I'm just wondering more, instead of digging in heels and taking up arms about, you know, preserving things as they are, maybe using it as an occasion to question why they are the way they are. And let's
feel like you could question
do better.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you could question all you want. Let's learn from it. You want to learn some history from it? No problem. Question it. Let's get the facts on both sides, the good and the bad. What good is it going to do when you start removing? Tell me, you think Heather Miller, who says that what it represents to her, you think she's going to sleep any better that night?
If the statue's not there?
Yeah. You think she slept any better the night that the mayor took the statue down in the middle of the night at 3 a.m?
Yeah.
Did anybody sleep any better? Did anybody wake up any better?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I think Fred Garter Fay wrote an article about that. He said it was like the mayor took away a toy from two feuding children, was the analogy he mm-hmm. used with, the statues being carted away, which I think there was a fear that it was that the site itself was becoming a contested place instead of
I just think the bottom line with it is, In a real simplistic form, I am not a scholar, I'm not a historian, but in a simplistic form, for an Italian American, that is our day. It mm-hmm. became our parade, mm-hmm. our holiday, our sense of pride, not digging deep, just our sense of pride. And for this all to be taken away in such an ugly manner, and without it being done in a democratic way, which is what we're supposed to be all about here in the United States of America, meaning, you know, the statue's in Arrigo Park. Okay, we're going to put it on the ballot in Chicago. In the city of Chicago, you're going to vote. Do you want to keep mm-hmm. it or you don't want to keep it? Right. I guess if 50% plus one voted to take it away, I think we would be much more okay with it than
I don't know if we'd be okay with it, Frank, but we wouldn't have a choice to accept it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. But for like a person to decide caving into a radical group, that's why we're not so okay with it. When I mean okay with it, just meaning we live in a democracy. And like you said, our president is our president, whether you voted for him or not, whether he's on your side, on your party. Yep. And if the people voted and said, we don't want this statue anymore. Okay. However, having said that, could we vote on the other statues as well?
Absolutely.
That's
my thing. So you're going to vote for one. You better vote for all.
You better vote for all.
If you're doing just Columbus, that means you're attacking the Italian community. You better do one for all and do all for one. And you better start attacking. You better attack anybody who's got any negative to them. So you better start attacking anybody who owned slaves. Yes, they were our president. Better come down, own slaves. Better come down. If Christopher Columbus is going to come down, they better be prepared to take many more down with it. And I have here 47 other statues. Right here. There's 47 other statues that have some type of meaning and some type of hatred towards them. Some people might hate them. Some people might think that they're wonderful. That there is 47 statues that are in question in the city of Chicago.
I mean, I'm all for the democratic process. And when I was talking before about how societies develop and change in value, that's what I'm saying. That should be carried out through democratic process. And I wasn't, advocating for random going out and toppling things that you don't believe in. That's not the position I was taking at all.
I mean, being here in Chicago, I even thought of this. Mm-hmm. We have a statue of Michael Jordan by the United mm-hmm. Center, right? Mm-hmm. We all love Michael Jordan. Greatest basketball mm-hmm. player of all time, won 6 championships for the city of Chicago. Did he do something maybe in college to somebody that was not so nice? Did he do something in the history of his life that maybe wasn't so nice? Probably. He's not a saint. None of us are. Should we take the statue down?
I think it's also, we have to look at the statue as a symbol of something beyond, that it. You put a statue up or a monument up because it symbolizes something in particular. You don't put it up to look at, to pick apart people's lives in there.
No, absolutely. But I think
there's something within that figure that ties in with the values that we as a society are, believe in, that our overarching nation believes in. And that is, part, again, that changes and evolves, I think, over time. And we should be able to look, where do these things go? Nobody put up a statue to, Washington. Washington was the one, who's the general and the ideals they had. It wasn't a monument that looked at his particular position on slavery in that moment. So, that's the way that these types of discourse should, be carried out. The types of debate should be carried out. It shouldn't be like, well, he did something bad or she did something bad, so let's tear them down. And I don't think it's not that simplistic with Columbus either. It's beyond what they're going to say Columbus means, and mm-hmm. instead more how we understand him today, and what value does it bring to keep having him up there. What does it do for us? Like I said, it is a federal holiday. That's not going away unless we have an act of Congress. So at this point in time, within the national sphere, there is still a consensus that there is something meaningful behind him to be recognized. And and if there's debate coming up, the other thing is we are supposed to debate as a culture. We have freedom of speech. We are supposed to be able to talk and dialogue. And I think when people disagree, it can be a good thing if you can listen to each other and find out where the common ground is. It's hard to walk in somebody else's shoes, but if you listen to them, maybe they can take you along for a step or two, and not that you're ever going to become, a united front, but, you get closer. Diversity is beautiful too. And diversity is messy.
I agree.
Messy.
Diversity is beautiful. I'm not going to deny that by any means. That's, mm-hmm. I'm open to that discussion and I completely understand. But if you, like you said, if you're going to put it up, look at it for the reason it's up. Mm-hmm. There's a reason it's up. There's a reason that people thought that good about it. There's a reason that it's up to begin with.
Yeah. Well, so, I think, Frank, you brought up a point about Mr. Arrighi and Carlo Barsotti that you want to share that little bit.
Absolutely. Sergio, it's incredible. Carlo Barsotti, he was the publisher of Il Progresso Italoamericano. So back in the early 1890s, he was on a real crusade to put up these monuments around New York. And he went around trying to get donations. Nobody gave him more than $200. He raised a total of $20,000. This is 1890. $20,000.
What's that equal to today?
Millions of dollars.
I know we should have an economist do the calculations.
Yeah, right. I wonder what.
I think we should have a statue of Carlo Barsotti, to be honest. The day of the installation ceremony in New York City, October 12th, 1892.
Okay.
There were 10,000 spectators. Mm-hmm. Now, for a group of people that were treated so badly.
Yeah,
you better believe that this was a source of pride and dignity that one of their fellow Italians had accomplished such a great feat of taking a boat and going somewhere where no man had gone before.
Yep.
And like I said, none of those were really wealthy people. Some of them were small business owners, but no donation was over $200, I think.
No donation was over $200. Yeah. So imagine, I mean, how many donations were well under $200?
I'm sure some of them were a couple of dollars each. Right. I mean,
dollars. I was going to say, I bet you some of them were 25 cents.
It could have been. And with the same thing with the Rego Park, that was, it was, you know, small, you know, simple people that put their money up to make their presence known. And it was pride in a sense of belonging and having accomplished something. I mean, that I think runs, that's what runs deep, and that's worthy of celebration, understanding. When I teach my students, I talk a lot about, especially in the Northeast, though I think it's probably true here in Chicago as well, you'd have the regular parish church, and then you'd have the Catholic parish. And I'd ask my students, well, you know, why is that? They're like, oh, they like the ethnic parish. I'm like, well, not exactly. When the Italians first came over, they weren't welcomed in the mainstream church, was predominantly controlled by the Irish Catholics. And they were made to worship in the basement. And so what did they do? It's not like they were disenfranchised with their Catholicism. It was so much a part of who they were. They raised money to build their own church.
Sure. Just like they weren't welcome in restaurants and on buses.
Yeah.
Just like Italians weren't welcome a lot, especially Sicilians. I'm a Sicilian. I moved here when I was 8 years old. So trust me, I could understand. And I came in 1989. Could you imagine coming 100 years prior to that? I couldn't imagine what they suffered. Yeah. So
I was saying this is where the feelings run deep, that this was something. Yeah. People made
this is where we can relate. Yeah, and we could relate to the African Americans. We could relate to how they were treated, because they treat us just the same. They treat us just like as we were African Americans. So I can relate. I can completely understand where they come from.
And another controversial figure, Italo Balbo, to quote our beloved Dominic Candeloro, his flight, 1933, when Italians were still treated terribly and were at the bottom of the totem pole, his flight was, according to Dominic Candeloro, the proudest moment for Italians in America ever.
And
this man did this incredible feat. As Columbus had done, he did something that no one had done before.
And that's absolutely correct. And they don't want to acknowledge that, because at the time of Mussolini. What they forget to tell you is that he was one that went against Mussolini, and his plane got shot down because he used to go against Mussolini. But they don't mention that when they want to say that they want to take down, you know, a Balbo statue.
And I believe he died only 9 years after that flight. He didn't live much of a long life after it, and you were right. And he was against him, and, you know, all these issues, you know, I wonder, like we just said, the 1893 Columbus Exposition, World's Fair, was there a problem with Columbus then? When they took the statue that's in Arrigo Park, and that's where it came from, the Columbus Exposition, and then it was put in front of a building on Michigan Avenue, the Columbus something.
Here, I can tell you where I have it right here. I can tell you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I only have so many papers here. I can't remember everything. It was put in the front of this building.
Yeah.
They have a problem with Columbus then. Now, I get it. Probably some people did. No one's perfect.
They might have thought differently, but it wasn't going to stop anybody from celebrating, right?
No. But it just seems like now. Yes.
For the Columbus Memorial Building.
Okay. The Columbus Memorial Building. And then I believe the building came down.
This is the one at Arrigo. It was exhibited at the World Columbian Exposition.
Yes. Correct. And I know they had to do some restoration to it to bring it to Arrigo Park. Because it was originally wasn't a full round statue. It didn't have a back on it. And that was part of what they raised the funds for, to make it appropriate to display, you know, full in the round with that.
And Sergio, I had mentioned on one of our other podcasts that, you know, I'm a little odd maybe, but I feel this like certain responsibility to Carlo Barsotti, to Victor Arrigo, and to all those people that donated money for these things. As an Italian American, I feel like it's my duty to defend them, to keep this up, because obviously they're not here to do it. Mm-hmm. They did such great things. They I feel like it's a shame. So, I mean, I have that personal thing where I feel a little bit of a responsibility as an Italian American today, living in 2020, to defend my fellow Italian Americans from 1920 and 1880.
Well, I agree. Yeah, as a teacher, I mean, I feel like it's my role to let my students understand why those statues were erected, because there were reasons that people of meager means or humble means, or maybe just modest means, I should say, that, you know, were willing to put up money to see these monuments erected. And they were erected in a particular point of time, and they served an important purpose there. I think that's something we all should know more about. You know, we brought up the Balbo monument too. I mean, there's an example where there was a commission that was convened to look at that monument, whether or not it should still be there. And the outcome of that was that what it was celebrating was not Mussolini's fascist reign, nor Balbo involved it with fascism, but the event of the transatlantic crossing. And I mean, when we talked to Professor Connell and we were talking about Columbus Day, he said in 1892, the holiday meant to look at America not in terms of like the founding fathers, but in terms of the people of the land, and the crossing, mm-hmm. and making the land available. So this is the types of things that, you know, goes beyond the individual involved. And it may be called the Balbo Monument. It might be called the, you know, it's obviously Columbus is this actual figure there, but understanding, right. you know, what it means and deciding in a democratic way, does this still resonate? Does this still jibe with the values of who we want to be.
So when it originally erected in 1892, Columbus Day, right? And just like you said, it was made for the people of the land, mm-hmm. for everybody. Mm-hmm. It just happened to be that the Italian Americans are the ones who continue to celebrate it.
Yes, and I think that's the community that's most associated with it today. I've talked about this with Frank separately. I remember as a little girl, Columbus Day, we did it in school. We had, you know, we made the little Pintanina and Santa Maria floats. And mm-hmm. then when I got older, it became more, at least in where I was from, more associated with the Italian-American community. There was like a revitalization of our Little Italy neighborhood that had a lot of businesses. And so there was like a carnival atmosphere and whatnot. So I do think over time, it has become more and more associated with the Italian-American community.
Yes.
It seems to pit us in opposition. You know, with
something that we didn't ask for. Remember that.
No, but it's where we are. So I'm like, okay, right. We're here now. What can we do about it to make it, again, more right. of a constructive discussion? So that's.
So I think moving forward, Sergio, mm-hmm. does it make sense then for the Italian American community of the 21st century to continue to attach so much importance on the figure of Columbus in public celebrations of Italian ethnicity?
Mm-hmm. It does. It does, because we don't eliminate the past. We don't forget who we are as a country. We don't forget how we got here. We don't forget as individuals. If you want to disagree, then look at the negative point of it and learn from it.
Mm-hmm. So we couldn't substitute, say, Danny DeVito, and it would be the same thing?
No, if you don't put a statue. Sorry, Frank, but
he's pretty good in Taxi. I don't know if you've ever seen the show Taxi. Yeah. You're a little younger than me, but.
And you're very good on this podcast, but if we replace Columbus with your statue, it's just not the same. As much as I enjoyed speaking with you, Frank, or if we put a statue of any one of our, any individuals, it's just not the same.
Is it because
can we think of other people to put up there? It's just not the same.
I was just going to ask, Serge, do you think it's because that he is sort of like part of the founding mythology of the country? Is it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, that's really the hook that sets him
apart. Absolutely. How do you take that away from that man?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I don't know.
And then I think
if you want to take that away, what else are you going to take away? Tell me, what is next?
Oh,
I'm going to tell you right now.
You're asking me?
You're opening that Pandora's box, and you don't know what's coming next.
Yeah. Plus, I just think that, you know, if you're 85 years old, Italian-American, Well, for 85 years, that's the guy. Yeah. That's the holiday.
Now you want to take that away?
That's the parade.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah, in a very absolutely. Simple term. Now, you know, if you said for 85 years you've been celebrating this, you know, horrible person, well, who started this in the first place? Mm-hmm. But
how did you bring that to our table? Yeah. Why did you start that from the beginning? So
exactly.
But that's my outlook. That's my feelings.
Anything else, Carla, for Sergio before we end this?
Just one quick question, because I know you're the president of the Joint Civic Committee on Italian Americans. I know you guys have been very instrumental. You organized the parade. I know there's the Miss Columbus Day, right?
Yeah, the Columbus Day Queen.
My daughter was asked, and she's so not. She would have been a very alternative Miss Columbus. Let me just say that. But what else too? Like, how else? Let's talk about it. So if Columbus is important, it's central to how we feel about it, you know, our Italian Americanness, as you're putting forth here. Like, what else? You know, what else should people be doing? You know, I think it bothers me to see whenever at least there's a
public. I'm going to tell you this.
You encourage people to do? Let's to make sure.
So I'm going to make it very easy. I'm going to have you go to jccia.com. Mm-hmm. And there's officially a calendar of mm-hmm. Italian American Heritage Month, because you know October, so tomorrow that starts.
Yeah, we've been in touch with them. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a whole calendar of what else you can do.
Excellent. That's what I wanted. Let's get that out there. Like, there's so
whole
much
whole calendar that we have out there.
Our culture and our heritage.
Yep. You can find it on our Facebook page. You can find it on our website. I'm sure it'd be Fra Noi is posting it and sharing it. So that's a calendar. We did that for the first time this year. So
they contacted us. They asked us to put some information on these podcasts on there too. We were really very happy to be included in that.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Share that, because that tells you, celebrate who we are as Italian Americans. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget that.
Sergio, thank you so much for the interview.
My pleasure.
And also on a side note, thank you for defending our people and our statue.
I'm trying, bud.
I know you are.
Thank you, Sergio.
Thank you for having me. Carla, it was a pleasure. I really enjoyed it. So thank you, and hopefully we get to celebrate with you.